Did you know what papal infallibility was called back in the time when St. Peter was the pope? Simon Says. Got a few laughs there. I was looking for jokes, and I really couldn't find anything good about St. Paul just because he's way too intense. I gave it a shot. My last weekend, I'm like, if I do well, I don't have any pressure to keep doing it. And if I do bad, I won't hear about it for long. So we have these two great saints, and what a gift to be able to really contemplate them, these huge figures of the New Testament and kind of our spiritual fathers in the Roman Catholic Church. And I think when we look at them, it's so important to always realize that first and foremost, saints are gifts to us from God, that it is Jesus Christ who leads the way. He leads the way in their lives. And we see that in the readings from the vigil last night. It recalls how both men really needed mercy from Jesus. We have St. Paul, the persecutor of the church, who violently rejected the Christian message and persecuted Christians. And he had to have this encounter with Christ, such a profound one that Christ would say to, "Why are you persecuting me?" And it changed everything. And then we have, of course, Peter with his threefold denials of Christ and his needing to be kind of recovered to the Lord afterwards. But both of them, in receiving that mercy from God at his free choice, they then were able, by his grace, to powerfully respond and to become these great apostles and then even martyrs for the Lord. And in our readings today, we see it as their missions are unfolding that, yes, that they are facing trials. You know, and following the crucified Lord, they are facing trials, but they also know the powerful and very present help of the Lord who stands by them in their trials. And so both of them can run this race, and they can have this great hope and this access to the kingdom of heaven. And so the saints, you know, are led by Christ, and then the saints are really meant to reflect the goodness of God. And that's really what our vocations are as well, to reflect the very goodness of God to those around us and for God's glory. And so what I would like to do is, I think with St. Peter and St. Paul, you know, to really kind of hear from them, these great saints. And I think I'll just give you a quote from each of these great apostles. And I think these two quotes will kind of maybe unpack a bit of what these last 8 years have been, of what our time together has been as pastor and parish together. And so I want to start with St. Paul. And I think about St. Paul as the one who's been transformed in his encounter with Jesus Christ. In encountering the risen Lord, everything changed in his life. He changed. And the great power of that, and how unlikely that had seemed, this great persecutor, so stridently opposed to the gospel, and yet through this encounter with the risen Lord, becomes this great herald of the gospel to the Gentiles. And so, mindful of this reality of encounter that St. Paul has, I give you a quote that he has from his letter to the Galatians. And so your quote from St. Paul is this. St. Paul says, "I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself up for me." So we have this powerful testimony of relationship that St. Paul gives. He says, "Christ lives in me." That's how close the Lord is. That's how close the Lord wants to be. And when I think about our parish, I think about our parish mission that we've articulated, which is forming disciples to live and to share the abundant life of Christ. And that abundant life of Christ isn't some external abundance or something like that. It's not some, you know, gospel of wealth or something like that. The abundance is the Lord living within me, that Christ lives in me and is with me always, and my life is truly anchored in him. And so that's our mission, and it's an important one because I've written, spoken about that reality that, you know, society, the world is changing, has changed a lot, and we're moving from, and we've moved from a situation we could call Christendom, you know, where society and its values are rooted in the gospel, that the vision of what's real and most important is informed by the Christian faith, and that kind of forms and motivates the activities of society. The society is moving away from that. The world has left that. And so the church then is called to move into apostolic mission, really just like St. Peter and St. Paul, going to a world that does not know the gospel or is outright hostile to it. How important for us, essential to be disciples who know that Christ lives in me. That is so important. That is the essence. That is the only way that we can be the committed disciples the Lord needs today. And yes, it's a huge generational challenge facing this, but also there's huge blessings that come as well. And so as Jesus told his apostles many times, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You know, there is unmatched goodness and joy, peace, in a life intentionally centered on Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to. A life centered on Christ. And that is for individuals, for couples, for families, for households. You know, to say both within and among us, Christ lives in me. And we can see how powerfully the Lord acted in the lives of Peter and Paul in that first apostolic age. And we can look forward to that again in the new apostolic mission to come that indeed has already arrived. And then St. Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me. And I think at our parish we've wanted to encourage people to more and more live by faith. And we call that the pathway of discipleship, that we're all on this pathway, this journey of deepening relationship with the Lord. You know, maybe right now it's just, well, I've met Christians and I'm kind of curious about this. I'm wondering, what is the faith about? Their life somehow grabs me. I want to know more. I want to check out this place. Maybe it's moving more deeply an encounter with Christ the living Lord. And okay, yes, I want to follow you. And that turns into a real commitment of discipleship with him. And then discovering that I'm in a journey with fellow disciples and we together have this mission and this witness to bear. So there's this pathway and we're all at different points on that. But the Lord, again and again, he says to each one of us, Jesus says to each one of us, follow me. Follow me to go ever more deep into relationship with him, to live by faith. And so I encourage you, as kind of one of the big things that we've promoted in our parish life these last 8 years, lean into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Lean into that relationship with faith. Yes, and life brings both good and bad, but let us live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me. And St. Paul says, he has loved me and given himself up for me. That's how great is his love, all the way to the cross for you, for each one of us. And so I encourage you, do not doubt ever how much Jesus loves you. And again, entrust your life to him. So if St. Paul is this one who really conveys that great reality, that pillar of that encounter with Christ and discipleship, turning to St. Peter, I see him as a great sign of unity. He is the rock on which Jesus builds his church. And we've done some building here in these last 8 years. We've had the Foundation to Serve initiative that we started in 2020, ran into 2021, which was so awesome. The reality of, yes, in the midst of all the craziness of 2020, the parish was like, no, we are going to work on that west, and we're going to expand the food pantry. We're going to create new meeting spaces, new places for a catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Like, we are pushing forward in faith. And I'm so thankful for all the people who said yes and supported that and said yes to the gospels alive today in that initiative. And then in 2023, 2024, we had Radiant Beauty. You know, yes, our church is beautiful, but let us keep adding to that, because beauty awakens us to the presence of God and to a deeper, powerful, supernatural beauty. And then the Rosary Garden, the steady work and giving of many people to help make this Marian sanctuary of peace and of prayer that I hope many of you have visited and can take advantage of as the plants continue to grow, and that it's just another beautiful sign for Christ dwelling within us as we go into that garden. These initiatives, I hope, and we've always tried to encourage the awareness, though, that a construction project for the church, it always comes from and it always is meant to serve the deeper spiritual building done by God. That God is that first and ultimate builder for us. And so my St. Peter quote that I give to you is this from his first letter, chapter 2, verse 5. St. Peter tells us, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so I submit to you that this description, this exhortation of St. Peter, beautifully describes the dynamic reality of parish life, of what it is really meant to be, this dynamism of the spiritual house of God. And at its heart, as he says, be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. And so at the very heart of who we are and what we're about is, first of all, the sacrifice of the Mass, that reality of the great mystery of Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection truly present here, because his body and blood is present. And we can finally offer acceptable worship to God through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice. And in that, God is praised. We are sanctified. The world is interceded for. This is the very heart of God's building among us, the very heart of our parish life, the Eucharist. And so we start here with this great spiritual sacrifice, the priest and deacons, but all the body of Christ together. But then that spiritual sacrifice is meant to overflow, to redound out into the world, overflowing in a life of charity, a love of God and neighbor in the Holy Spirit. As we are stamped by the death and resurrection of Christ in Mass, we go out to bear that spiritual power to the world, and that spiritual sacrifice continues. And we can do that then, and we can build up that spiritual house. There is nothing like the living, grace-filled unity of Christians to live and to act together. It is so powerful to do that, to be in this together, not as just scattered living stones, but living stones built into a spiritual house. And so I encourage you, and I'm so thankful for how many people have done that, to lean into this as well. Lean into that unity. Lean into building up with generous and daring hearts this spiritual house, with God's grace to create that Christian unity that attracts, that welcomes the new living stones that God wants to bring as he builds up this spiritual house. And I'm so thankful for the many that have been involved in building up this parish, and invite those who have been on the sidelines, you know, to jump in, to let your living stone build up this beautiful work of God. And so we have in our great apostles today, I think they point to some of the great realities of what we have tried to be about and to do in my time here, that reality of encounter with Christ. Paul points to that transforming encounter with the Lord, and that vital reality of how he lives within me, and I know his love, and I want to have that Christ-centered life. And I'm thankful for all the programs and Follow Me and CCO and all the different things that help us realize that important truth. And then Peter points to the dynamic unity of our parish, to be living stones truly made into God's spiritual house, not separated and divided and scattered, but daring to be built together by God. And so I have great gratitude for our time together these last 8 years, our time together as pastor and parish, but I think also as friends and even in Christ, even as family. It has been a huge joy, a great blessing to be your pastor, to be a priest for you, and to be a Christian with you. And I've learned so much about being a priest, about being a Christian, about being more human. All of these realities, thank you that we could walk together in that. And also, please forgive any of my failings towards you in these times. But most of all, I simply thank you for your tremendous support that you have given me, and your love and your encouragement, and just know of my great love for you as well. Even though there is definitely real sorrow at this time of parting, and just so you know, my modus operandi is put on a brave face and feel terrible later, and I'm going to be feeling really terrible about this. But like Peter and Paul, Jesus leads the way. Jesus leads the way for all of us. He's our true and good shepherd. And so I pray and I hope for deeply that his peace may reign always in your hearts. And so until we see each other again, God bless you all.